The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome back to the Bell Witch podcast with me, Swales, a friendly green witch, and Jodie of Mother Serpentine Tarot. This is the final instalment of the Triple Goddess series, The Crone. We discuss what it may be like to become the crone, those we know from the past and present in crone status, and how society perceives them. We speak about our fears of aging, crone imagery in divination tools, and bizarrely, what I discovered in my mum's private collection after her death. This week's tip is how to make a simple yarn mandala, and the usual shout outs to end with. So here we go, sit back, relax, and enjoy. Jodie has got a new member of the family, and it's the right little, sweet little doggy, witch's dog.
Yeah.
Is it a girl?
It's a girl, yeah. She was rehomed, so she came from a family where they'd essentially, they already had a few dogs, and then one of their dogs passed away, and they got this dog that we've got now as a replacement dog. They named her Daisy. They then began taking on more and more dogs that were in like bad condition, dogs that needed rescuing. And because Daisy was, they were, I think they just sort of woke up one day and they were like, fuck, how many dogs have we got? What have we got?
Easy done.
And I think because a lot of the other dogs had come from like bad situations, and you know, they were really, really calm, Daisy, as they called her, is gonna have to be the, you know, she's the only one that, anyone will.
She's very
really
quiet.
Home. She's asleep at the moment, yeah. She's just asleep behind me, tucked witch under the radiator.
A witch's dog.
But the guy who was rehoming her, he actually is training as a dog trainer. So she's only 7 months old, but she's really, really well trained. And I want to train her as a therapy dog. So obviously I've always struggled with my mental health, as does Eartha. My youngest daughter, Winter, has developmental delays from her difficult birth. So what I'm going to do is I want to train her as like a proper therapy dog. So she's going for some training starting on Monday, just to sort of, you know, make sure she's nice and obedient and well-mannered. I'd said, actually, oh, I want to train her to do circus tricks. And I think everyone looked at me like I had about 4 heads, but it turns out there's actually like a circus training group near mine for dogs. So interestingly, we were going to call it Asmodeus, but it's really, really long and it can be shortened in a lot of ways, so we thought it'd get confusing. And she was already called, so I'd said, oh, we could call her Dizzy for short. And then when she turned up, they were like, oh yeah, we call her Daisy.
Aww.
so she goes by Dizzy now.
Dizzy,
yeah.
Witch's
yeah, so
dog.
She's got an Instagram if anyone wants to follow.
Wait, did you get her today? You've always got right big stuff happening to you.
But I've wanted one for years now, and it's just never felt right. But I was kind of like, do you know what? I'm in a really, really stable place in life, and doing my craft full time means a lot of my bookings are in like pubs and markets and, you know, places where Dizzy can come with us. So it's like, you know, when I do my classes, they're in the High Farm. Well, the High Farm's dog friendly. So there's no reason that she can't be there. She just needs that we just need to make sure that she's got the obedience levels. But I don't think that'll be a problem. I wish you could see her now.
She's only little, isn't she? What is she?
So she's meant to be a cockapoo, but she's merle. She's like a chocolate merle, and chocolate merles don't exist. They don't exist in poodles or cockers or spaniels naturally. I wasn't actually looking for a cockapoo. I was just looking for any dog that fit my sort of very strict criteria. When I'm picking animals, I always think like I play it like top trumps. You know, I'm like thinking like how easy are they going to be, how calm, how adaptable are they going to suit flat life, are they going to be, you know, good with babies, are they going to be energetic so that we can play with them. So
cute.
Dizzy dot doggo. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, but she's perfect. Yeah.
Oh,
I'm very happy. I've wanted one for so long, and it's really like taking a big jump, you know. But I just thought I've got the time in my life now, and it felt like the right time. So
congratulations on your new family member.
Yeah. That's she's cool. A good girl. Why don't you tell them about your family members while we're here, your little pets, your little zoo? I've
got two gerbils, Ginger and Biscuit, the smelly dragon Dave, a load of fish in a tiny little 15-litre fish tank that looks a bit like a crystal ball, which I love. Two snakes, Pebbles, who's a ball python, corn snake that we call just Snakey. I think she was called Heidi once, and then she was called Bob or something, and then so we just stick with Snakey. And then a load of stick insects, which you give me, like 2 or 3 years ago, and I've still got them because they just never, ever stop producing eggs.
Yeah. You get rid of them and then you find another.
Just got a new batch of babies this past month, but they're escaping because they're small enough, you know, to get out. So I'm like, all my house plants are half eaten. You can see little munch marks where they've escaped.
We should do like a little impromptu competition. We should get people to tag us in their pet pics. You know, tag us as on our Instagram, which is the_bell_witch_podcast. And then whoever tags us in the best pet pick,
that would be
could
awesome.
Win a prize. I've got some decks. I could post the deck out, and I don't know what you've got in your shop. We could little cheeky pet giveaway.
Maybe like a salt candle, you know, Himalayan.
Oh,
salt
that'd
candle.
Be amazing.
I've got a massive stock of them.
Oh yes,
we could give them to the most.
Let's do it.
What's the criteria?
They just have to tag us within the next. I'd say leave it a month. I'd say if they tag us before a month, do the winner on summer solstice or something, because it gives people, I know there are people who are sort of listening through all the episodes in order, so I'd hate for anyone to miss out. Yeah, so I reckon on summer solstice, we'll draw.
Yeah.
And then we'll send something out. Yeah, you just have to tag us as @the_bell_witch_project.
I love pets. I wouldn't be without them. They make me so happy.
How's your witchy week been?
It's not been very witchy, but it's been quite magical because it's been the Easter holidays. So I took my kids down south and took them to London for a day, went to that Rainforest Cafe, which was magical in different ways. And then Legoland, oh my God, amazing. we were, because my sister-in-law was determined to get there early. We were the first to get on the dragon ride. Apparently it's like hours queuing time. So we got there really early. We didn't get the rides at the beginning, which were brilliant. And then just looked around and played on all the swings and that. So my kids have had a brilliant Easter holiday. But I've done nothing for myself. I've got round to nothing, witchy. I meant to take a pack of tarot down with me down south and I forgot. So, but I do take a little altar. I've got a little travel altar.
Like a pocket altar.
Yeah, in a little tin. And I take that with me. And half the time I don't even get round to putting it out. But it's enough that I've got it with me.
I've just been kind of pootling around with the kids. I took off most of my work bookings this week because I just wanted to enjoy being with the kids. So we've been doing like days out and things. And
things about eggs. Have you been hiding eggs and eating eggs?
I found out today that apparently in America they don't have chocolate eggs. They have like plastic eggs filled with lollies.
What?
And they find it really confusing that we have chocolate eggs. So there's
missing
a little
out.
Fun fact for you.
Missing out, there they are.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
The eggs represent fertility, don't they? So it's like in a pagan slang, we're celebrating fertility.
Well, so I do agree with eggs representing fertility and being a pagan thing. But this is a rant that I've had on Facebook before. People often link Easter and Ostara. Ostara is not a thing. So it was basically the vernal equinox, which obviously was celebrated by pagans, was renamed in the 70s. So if you hear people saying, you know, Ostara's like the ancient name.
I'm aware that Jodie gets really annoyed about this, so I don't call it Ostara around
Yeah.
Here.
You don't have to not call it Ostara around me. It's just, it's one of those where it was named in the 70s by a guy called Aidan Kelly, who famously doxed loads of pagans, which... a bit naff, like he gave their names and locations during a time when it wasn't acceptable to be pagan and essentially ousted them. So people will sometimes say, oh, but he named it after a goddess, Eosta. Eosta was never a goddess. Eosta was a fictional goddess in a book by the Grimm's brothers. That's like, I don't know if I'm trying to think of a movie with a goddess in it at the moment.
Can't think of any.
Te Fiti from Moana. I don't know if they are based on an actual goddess, though.
I think they are.
They probably are. Right, they probably are. I also found out that Jesus was not seen as being the son of God until like 300 years ago.
I can believe that.
It's just insane, isn't it?
I always think as well, like Jesus would have been doing Reiki and healing people.
Yeah.
And at the time it were like,
Yeah. Do you know Jesus had like brothers and sisters and stuff?
I think I do, yeah.
I didn't know that because like you always get told, don't you, like, oh, Mary, she's barren. And like in the Nativity, they're like, oh, this barren woman. And she never was. But being barren does lead us into our topic for this podcast.
Oh, good link.
Because in the previous podcasts, we've spoke about the maiden, mother and crone archetype. This is known as the triple goddess to many people. And we've chosen to explore this phenomenon largely because even though it can be a bit sketch on some levels, it can lack inclusivity. It's quite a modern concept. It's quite a misunderstood concept and doesn't fit with most women. You know, many of us won't live till old age. Many of us don't have children, don't enter the mother phase, and the maiden phase isn't always innocent and whimsical for people. However, the faces of the triple goddess tend to represent with all of us. After menopause, we enter what's called the crone phase, if we're lucky to live long enough. The crone is the archetypal wise woman, and she represents the latter phases of life, which is where women find the wisdom, and they've come to terms with the shadow self. We often see her as being old-aged, and she might be presented as a wise sage, but she's often also presented as a hag. One of the most mystical and also feared in the maiden, mother, crone archetype, and I think the reason being that she's in the waning phase of her life. She's a symbol of the wintering of your life. She's reached her old age and carries all the wisdom from her younger years and all her life lessons. In the tarot, she's the high priestess and she's fiercely independent and a font of knowledge. And the high priestess is one of the most revered cards in the deck, I think, to many witches especially. However, in the modern world, I feel like we don't treat our crones as well as we should. So obviously with the previous episodes, we were able to speak about our journey, sort of meandering through those phases and how that might look. But with this one, we've not arrived there yet. So we are speculating and drawing upon our observations and talking about our fears for that phase in life and all sorts today.
I quite like the idea of the crone being like, you've got to a certain age and you're just sick of people's bullshit and you don't stand for it anymore. And I like that. It really appeals to me. When I was younger, I used to have a lot of friends that were becoming crones and they were all just like, fuck the world, I am me, and my hair grew long and grey and I want to do what I want, and they're getting tattoos and pierced at 55, and I were there for it. It was amazing.
See, I do think that's amazing, but I also think that when you enter the crone phase, you have two things going on. One is this accumulation of wisdom and knowing your own mind, knowing your psyche, having an uncanny intuition for other people because you've encountered so many throughout your life. And those are all, you know, the sort of high priestess aspects. But then when you talk about, when you think of the real world, older people are some of the most vulnerable in society, isolated. So I feel like the high priestess is seen as being this sort of fiercely independent person who sort of thrives on being alone. But many people reach old age and find themselves, they actually call it social death.
That's
find themselves unable to get out, unable to, you know, it's like as you get old, everyone in your life slowly dies. Like, you know, you watch the people older than you in your family die off, and then your friends start dying off.
Yeah, it's funny you should say that, because I went to see my mother-in-law over the Easter holiday, and she was sorting out a house, so she was letting me go through all this jewellery that was her mother's. And I said, why are you doing this? Why are you emptying your house? You're not going to move, are you? And she said, no, just recently a lot of my friends have started to die, and their children are doing the house out, and I don't want to make it hard for, like, you and your family and my daughter's family. I was a bit like, whoa, you're all right, you're dead healthy.
That's like a Swedish thing, isn't it? They actually call it, like, Swedish death cleaning, and it's the idea that you go around your house and you clean everything so that your family when you die.
I do get it. It's actually a really kind thing to do, because it is such a ball ache doing it. I mean, all my family snuffed it, and it was massive challenge to go through a whole entire contents of a house that also holds previous generations.
Please tell the story. Please tell the story of, I'm sorry for the sidebar, of when your mum passed away and the things that you had to clear out, because that always makes me laugh.
My mother was she was young though. She was no way a crone. She was only 39 when she died, bless her.
No.
We knew it was coming. She was ill for a long time. And then when she did die, I had a house full of stuff I'd to clean out. Nobody really talks to you about, when somebody dies, they've got secret stuff, haven't they? That they don't tell people about, you know, like dildos and strippers on the VHS and porn. And so I'm going through a drawers and that, I'm finding these big ass dildos that are just like, what do you do with this? You obviously bin it, but then it's good. I mean, you know, I'm like, for landfill, I'm like, I don't really want to put this in the landfill, but I can't keep it because that's just weird. It was just bizarre, and it made me laugh, even though at the time it was sad. But I can imagine her just pissing herself whenever she is watching me going through her drawers in a sexy underwear and going like, what did I do with this?
What did you do with it?
I think I've been most of it, if I'm honest, which is sad, but you can't really give dildos away, can you?
It depends who your friends are, don't it? And I think it's like, if you know whose it is, like if you came to me and you were like, do you want my dead mum's? I'd probably be a bit more perturbed than if you were like, look, I tried this and there was just too much going on with it. Would you like it? It's been used once. Dip it in a bit of Milton and it'll be right. Do you know what I mean?
Bloody hell.
I don't know.
Well, I mean, I was only 19 at the time, so I want half as clued up as what I am now.
Didn't know how much they cost.
I know. Tell me about it. But I ended up doing a bit of stand-up just before I met you, actually, you know, when I won the bar tab.
That's how we met, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yes. I was doing a really cool event called, I think it was Cocktails and Fucktails, and it was like a non-binary run event. It was so good. It was like an open mic for sexy time. Mm-hmm. I used to go up on stage and talk about people dying and leaving sexy stuff behind. Yeah,
and that's how you won the bar tab, which you gave to me, which is how we met.
That's the story, yeah. Did you sneak your spiel in there?
I did, yes. I snuck it into my...
Oh.
Little, yeah. Yeah, and I thought this one, I think rather than sort of take, it's normally we sort of take it in turns and each talk about our personal experience, but I feel like this time more of like just a chat would probably,
well, there's not much we can
be beneficial.
I've pulled out a load of cards with crones on them, and I'll have to show you this one. It's really nice. Can you see it? She's my favourite crone.
She's beautiful. Isn't she
amazing? So this is a deck called The Old Ways Magic Oracle by Naomi Cornett. And her stuff is amazing. She does such gorgeous artwork. And her oracle sells out really quick because it's just so, so pagany and foresty. And the crone on this is probably the most beautiful crone I've ever seen. It's very earthy, and she's got a crown of branches and a staff of bones and runes hanging from her, and skulls on a necklace. And there's a little rabbit by her side. It's all really nice blues. Because usually the crone in cards and in culture, like pop culture generally, is like you're saying, it old hag from Sleeping Beauty with the poison apple.
And they're not, like, to be fair, like...
They're not at all, no.
It's like actually nowadays, because people are having children a lot later, a lot of people can sort of slot into the mother and crone archetypes at the same time.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because a lot of people are having kids in the late 30s even, and you've got to think, for crones, it was kind of from middle age or from menopause that you were seen as being in the croning phase, wasn't it?
Which could be like late sort of 40s, kind of mid to late 40s.
Yeah.
So I was going to read out what's in the Old Ways Magic Oracle book. So it's Caliach in Dure, the winter crone, goddess of the cold and the winds, queen of winter, the veiled one, bringer of storms. See the dark days and stormy nights, opportunities to face our fears. Feeling battered by adverse winds, unable to see past the storms and our own fears. Wisdom in the spirit of the crone, endure the harsh and stormy nights of winter and know this too shall pass.
That's so, this, lovely, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, this deck has got three meanings. So it's welcome, warning, or wisdom. So I guess it's whatever you're drawn to when you do a reading. It's a really nice crone card.
Yeah. I do think for me, it is the sort of social and emotional side of aging that I'm afraid of. So I think there's a lot, even in your 30s, you know, and as mothers, that we have to come to terms with in our appearance. I mean, for me, I was a lot better looking when I was younger. I'm sure many people were. And getting older has definitely been a bit of a learning curve for me in that regard. And it's something that I anticipate. You know, you go through like second puberty, don't you? Nobody tells you about that. Like, you know, when you get to like sort of your late 20s, like all of a sudden everything kind of drops a little bit. Like I remember being like 23 and then being like 26 and looking at 23-year-olds and thinking, oh my God, like my boobs are like an inch lower. I've got crow's feet. I've got white hairs. I gained a load of weight, like with, you know, like hormone changes and things like that. Like my metabolism slowed down again. So like it sort of changed a lot about my appearance and sense of self, but it is the emotional side that I'm most afraid of. Yeah,
I don't mind getting older. I quite like my crow's feet. It was a bit later for me, sort of early 30s. I put a lot of that down to having children. But I always have to be grateful that I'm still alive and kicking, and that it's like a privilege to age, just because my mum died when she was 39. Yeah. And when I get 39, I'll probably have a right wobble midlife crisis. But I've never been too bothered about getting old. I'm happy to do it.
For me, I think a lot of people grieve their bodies, not even just how they look, but how they feel and how they move. You know, I was speaking with a lady who's in her crone phase of life, and she was always fit as a fiddle, and she has a lot of family and stuff, so she's quite socially active. And she said she used to always look at people who were like older, who'd sort of ended up just shutting the house for like months on end and not really washed and needing carers and things like that. And she used to always say, I'll never end up like that. I'll never end up just stuck in my house. I'll never stop having a lie. And she used to like climb mountains and loads of nature stuff and was living her best life, really, and was quite fit, even sort of, you know, in her late 50s. And then her hip went and she needed to have a hip replacement, or was it a knee replacement? It was one or the other. It has affected her ability to get out, and all of a sudden for her, she's really, really grieving her mobility and the things that she used to be able to do that she can no longer do nowadays. That's one thing. I've already kind of been through that because I have chronic illness, so I kind of resonate with that. But I remember watching my mobility go down when like I should have been getting stronger and fitter, and I remember how hard that was, and sort of coming to terms with what I could and couldn't do. Sort of aware that that'll hit even harder in old age, and also just the thought of losing people.
Yeah, that's the worst bit for me, I think. I'm already getting up and going like, oh, my knees, oh. This is Jodie's daughter, Eartha.
I can't hear you because of the headphones, but it's just...
Oh, she can't hear me because she's got earphones.
We've got a new doctor today.
Go on, get to bed, you. Little monkey. Yeah, bright red hair. She's going through the hair dye phase.
Looks fab.
They don't want like long hair anymore. Like when they're like sort of 5 or 6, you can braid the hair and it's really convenient and you can keep lice away, or you can put it in like little buns or what have you, and like tight hairstyles and they like that. But then they get to like 9 and they're like, that's too babyish. I want a pixie cut. But you can't braid it.
What were you saying before?
Yeah, no. So it's not even the hurting and things, it's the idea of, so because we're both quite active and we go out so much and we're both very sociable, we have a lot of friends and we explore a load of different environments every week. The idea of only being able to do like one or two things to me just seems deeply depressing, and also the idea that the people that I love will eventually leave my life. I still have my grandma in my life, so my kids have their great gran, and yeah, I dread the day I lose her. Absolutely dread it. Yeah, with aging, it's just it's one of those where the things that people talk about fearing, things like how you look, but then the actual stuff is the facts that you're likely to be sort of isolated and not able to take part in the things that you used to take part in. Bit shit, really, isn't it?
It's so negative, isn't it?
People don't talk enough about aging. And, like, there are actually, like, really, really scary parts of childhood and giving... I mean, childhood is treacherous for kids nowadays. Like, their anxiety levels are through the roof. Like, child's mental health is, like, an absolute low, you know, across the board. You know, motherhood, you know, it brings, like, birth with it, which is obviously something that a lot of people, you know, find a difficult experience, a very powerful experience, but for most people quite difficult nonetheless. So there is a lot to be feared in all the phases.
They're to sort of teach us different things in life, isn't it? Which is a bit of a cliche, but it's definitely a challenge, but every aspect.
Yeah, but I do think people don't talk enough about older people and don't respect their wisdom enough as well. It's like, you know, like we all have an older person in our life who goes on a bit like, I know what'll happen if you do that, I know this, I know that, and you think you don't know anything, we're in a different world to when you were little. Like the world's changed since then, Marion.
I've always been brought up to respect my elders, but I think that's because of the way I was brought up. My nan brought me up until I was 11 when she died, and she were a really old nan. She was 70 odd when I was little, and she was just so amazing for her age. You know, she would brought me up right, and she would tell him like women can love women and men can love men and it's up to them. And I'd say like, is there a God? Is there Jesus? You make your own mind up. Yeah. Some people believe, some people don't. And looking back now, that's absolutely amazing for her age. She was such an awesome crone. And I'll always have her sort of in me a little bit, personality-wise. She brought me up to do things that were really old-fashioned. We had a coal fire, so I used to make coal fires for her. And I were only 5 or 6. I mean, I were really young, because I was a young carer. I didn't know at the time. I used to take the toilet and wash her down and cook. She were lovely with me, Nan.
I always acted respectful to older people, but I don't think I had that respect, that level of respect for them, until I studied social work and I began volunteering at a hospice. So when I was 16, I went and cared for my granddad, my great granddad actually, while he was dying, and he was just hilarious. So I went and volunteered at the hospice that he'd died in bereavement support, so supporting families who'd lost people in the hospice. And a lot of them were like really, just really, really lonely, you know, really anxious, missing the partners a lot. My God, they were hilarious as well. And they taught me so much. They taught me how to play cribbage and bridge and stuff like that. And
so, yeah, it's the same thing. I had it from young childhood.
But it was also, that is sort of when that fear of the grief and everything else sort of set in a little bit more.
Yeah, I did my work experience at a nursing home in 2002 when I was 16. And while I were there, there were an old lady that reminded me of my nan, and I took a right shine to her. I used to bring her biscuits in and stuff. And then she died while I were working there. And it absolutely broke my heart. And that made me go, okay, this isn't the job for me. I just couldn't do it because I'd get so...
Emotionally invested. So I feel like we've kind of spoken at length about the crone. Shall we talk about a tip for the week?
Yeah, have you got one?
No. If not, but I can pluck one out of my ass if you need.
Well, what would you call this?
Mandala. I call it a yarn mandala.
Because I thought it was like an eye, a woven eye.
Or a dream catcher. Woven dream catcher.
So what it is, it's four sticks crossed. Get a bit of yarn and you wrap the middle up so it stays in a cross. And then you'd get another colour and wrap it round one stick and then pull it tight to the next one. And wrap it around that and then pull it tight to the next one. Wrap it around that and carry on going round and round and round. Making sure the twine is tight next to each other. And then you end up with kind of like a diamond shape. And it can be really beautiful because you can change the twines. So it makes a pattern. So the one I've made here, it looks a bit like an eye. In the middle there's yellow and then there's red. And then the outside, which is like the big piece of eye, is dark green. And then the outside is like a garden twine. But it just looks really lovely. I mean, it's a bit slack now. It goes slack with time as the wood bends. So you could even use chopsticks. I mean, I've used wood off a brand.
I think that depends on the type of wood. Because I've got some that I made even when I used to make them when I worked in the Steiner. And my ones that I've got at home haven't bent. So I think it probably depends on what kind of tree you use or the thickness of the branches.
This might be off my apple tree, maybe.
They're quite fine branches, aren't they?
Yeah. I've had it a long time. Yeah. I've had it 2 or 3 years. But it's also quite a nice thing to do, isn't it? Because it's therapeutic.
That's it for me, yeah. It's that therapeutic crafting.
And you can use as many sticks as you want, can't you? I know people do complicated ones with like 8 sticks. And so it becomes more of a spider web shape. Yeah. I mean, I like the 4 sticks because it resembles an eye.
Yeah.
If you hold it on its side, it's like a diamond shaped eye. And you could even make it in the same colours as the evil eye, you know, from, is it Greek?
I was thinking the Turkish one.
There we go, the Turkish evil eye.
It, yeah.
But yeah, the possibilities are endless. They could look so detailed.
I think it'd be good to do them to correspond with particular spells as well. Like if you found a wood that corresponded, say, with wealth, you know, then you might choose a wood that corresponds with bringing in wealth. And then you could use colours that correspond with that and make it into its own little spell as you went.
For the crone, I guess you'd choose like greys.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Whites and purples. I was going to attempt to make one for this podcast episode, but it's been such a busy week with the holidays, with Easter holidays. So as this life portrays with kids and witching, some stuff just don't happen, and that's okay.
It's life, isn't it? Yeah, they're called yarn mandalas, and they actually have books where people can do like really complicated patterns with them.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's called Yarn Mandalas in there. So, in terms of shout-outs for this month, I'd like to talk about a Leeds-based event, which is coming up on the 6th of May, which is called the Half Moon Market. It's held at a well-known club in Leeds called the Key Club, which is sadly not accessible for people with mobility issues because there's stairs to navigate. So, you know, if you can't do stairs, then... Unfortunately, yeah, it's like a basement bar, like a nightclub. Yeah, it's an alternative market that's set up by the lady who created Leeds Indie Markets. I'll be reading tarot there, but there's a lot of other stallholders who I know from the market scene who are just absolutely phenomenal. So I'd recommend going.
Is it a day thing?
Yeah, so it's a day thing. Let me just find the link. I'm really, really dreadful. I just put things in my calendar and then forget they exist. So
what's annoying about that date is it's the King's coronation, the 6th of May.
Right.
So I'll be down in London stewarding. Yeah.
Yeah, on the Saturday. Right. I don't know, because I'm booked onto a coronation event on the Monday as well.
12:04 on the 6th of May. In Leeds, at the Key Club.
Yeah, so I guess there'll be other coronation events on as well, which is good as well, isn't it?
I might just shout out the Oracle person again. The Old Ways Magic Oracle by Naomi Cornuck. And her website is nomeart.com. Cool decks and stuff on there you can buy. It's a pagan living in the west country of England. It's all really lovely stuff. So yeah, check her out. Her work is absolutely beautiful. It's definitely my favourite deck. Yeah. I use it all the time. But I'm sad I'm going to miss your market. Sounds really good.
Well, there's plenty more in the pipeline. So, I mean, there's just so many markets and I feel like I'm just so busy.
You're always busy.
Markets at the moment. It's like the season for it, isn't it? Summer.
And then, of course, our spooky night on Saturday.
We have, yes. Yeah, I'm nervous now.
I am as well.
And it is also Beltane at Thornbury at the end of the month. So we are going to our first camp of the year, aren't we? You're coming out here, you've got tickets. You changed your mind, haven't you?
I haven't. No, I'm coming. I'm going to be sleeping in the car, but I am coming.
I'm sleeping in the car?
Because I'm only doing one night. There's no point setting a blooming
tent. You can sleep in our tent with us.
Not with dog.
Coming with us.
No way. I'll be all right. No, you've got a little baby and stuff. I'll be all right in the car. I'll make it all cozy and...
Yeah,
I might be late night anyway because I'll be on Mead without fire. Yeah. So. But my daughter's going on a brownie trip that weekend, so I can only do one night, which is fine, you know. And you've got to make a sacrifice when you've got children, isn't it?
Yeah, it's way more important, isn't it? Because we'll have the rest of our crone years for the witching.
And Beltane is every year the right thing to do. But at least I am going there. At least I'm going to do a night. Yeah. So if anybody's going to Thornbury Henge at Beltane, say hi.
Look out for us.
Yeah.
And I'll have Rainbow Tent, you know, where all the stall holders are, and I'll be doing a workshop on bone reading, which will be entirely free. So come and join
us. Jodie's so easy to spot in this amazing circus bell tent. And she'll have a little dog, and she's got a bald head. So you will know her.
Yes.
You will. Yes. I won't be as easy to spot, but I'll be floating around.
You're definitely easier at a spot than I am.
I don't know.
Swales will be probably dressed like someone who wants to give you a quest. We joked about that, didn't we, in the pilot episode, was it? We were saying some pagans go to these camps and they dress like they want to give you a quest or sell you a potion. That's Swales. Like, so if you see somebody that you want to send you on a quest and they have... a funky fringe and a lot of piercings.
Yeah, I've got lots of piercings. And I'll have a very big hat. I'll take maybe a pointy hat so I'm easy to spot.
You'd hope, but you never know with the people there, do you? You're like, oh my God, I did not dress up for this year.
Yeah. Everybody will be wearing a big pointy hat. I don't know if you've noticed as well, there's a bit of an Easter egg here. The first episode was Zero, like the Fool. Mm-hmm. And then 1, 2 and 3 was Mother, Maiden, Crone. Did anybody notice that? A nod to tarot that was like 0, 1, 2, 3 rather than 1, 2, 3. See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was just thinking because Crone, the high priest, she's card 2.
So that did quite
card
work.
2, Empress is card 3, but we've got card 0, haven't we? Which is our pilot episode.
Zero's new beginnings, so that works.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to make it work, damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the next episode will be what we're going to do.
We were going to do the elements are God and Goddess, weren't we?
Do you want to do elements first?
Yeah.
Maybe we could
do
water.
Yeah, it's probably good because you'll all hate my rap. No, if we're going to do elements, we have to do them in order.
Okay, what's the first one?
So it would be wands. It'd be wands, wands, cups, swords, pence. So it would be fire, water, air, earth. Which is nice because then the last one can ground us all for a bit before you hear me ranting about the God and Goddess.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, I think that's sort of thing. So the next one will be fire, yeah?
The next one will be fire, yeah, which will coincide with, like most of you will have hopefully listened to it by Beltane, so that's nice, isn't it?
Fire festival for you right there.
I mean, most of the pagan festivals are not disappointingly about either sex or fire.
Why do you think I'm a pagan? Like sex and fire?
So it's like, ooh, fire festival, ooh, and the next, ooh, another fire festival, like 8 times a year.
Great. As always, I want to say thank you for giving us a chance and listening to our new podcast, all about witching with children in the 21st century. It's a pleasure to talk to you and to bring topics from a different perspective of two northern witches. If you like what you hear, please let us know. Feel free to message us on social media anytime. And if you could review our episodes on Spotify and other podcast distributors, that would be so much appreciated. Thank you very much for listening, and we will see you next time.